Many of us have been seeing newscasts like this over the last few weeks. This one was taken just a few weeks ago, but it certainly reflects what's going on right now today in that area. Christians are being persecuted for their faith in many Middle Eastern and Northern African countries. In this past year, I read a special, it touched my heart, about a group of Christians who were gathered at a church called All Saints Church in Peshawar, Pakistan. There were about 500 people gathered in all after the worship service to eat a meal together. And during the meal, two suicide bombers set off explosives that killed about 80 and injured about over another 120. And in spite of the attack, though, these believers have reported back that we will not stop worshiping. We are going to continue to worship even in the same space. Today's a day that we've talked about for a few weeks, that we're going to be praying for our persecuted brothers and sisters throughout the world. They need our support, and they need our encouragement. I want to read to you a couple passages that help us put this in perspective. First, from Hebrews chapter 13, verse 3, the writer says, "Remember those in prison as if you were there yourself. Remember also those being mistreated as if you felt their pain in your own bodies." And then, of course, the Apostle Paul, who was no stranger to persecution at all in his life and the imprisonment that he felt. When he was in jail, he wrote these words to his brothers and sisters in the city of Philippi. He says, "I want you to know, my dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me here has helped to spread the good news. For everyone here, including the whole palace guard, knows that I am in chains because of Christ. And because of my imprisonment, most of the believers here have gained confidence and boldly speak God's message without fear. For I know that as you pray for me and the Spirit of Jesus Christ helps me, this will lead to my deliverance." Notice he was writing these when he was imprisoned, though he was innocent. And he knew that the potential for his beheading or whatever way of his execution was imminent. It could be any day. And his words, I think, inspire us today as we think to our brothers and sisters in other parts of the world. So we want to use his words and the writer of Hebrews' words as kind of an outline this morning for our action and our ability to join with them in this important time of prayer. The first thing the Apostle Paul said was to remember those who are in chains. He says, "I want you to know, my dear brothers and sisters, that everything that's happened to me here has helped to spread the good news. For everyone here, including the whole palace guard, knows that I am in chains because of Christ." In recent weeks, I shared with you that someone from our congregation came to me and to Pastor Michael and asked if we could sit down and have an intensive time of prayer, because she said that somebody that they knew was in this particular situation where they were a Christian, a humanitarian worker working in the Middle East, and now they were in chains and facing the possibility of execution any day. In fact, the day when they had ordered the ransom to be paid has long passed, and as far as they know, the person is still alive. But the family has asked us to be very general in our references and not to put it on social media or anything like that, because the threat was that if any word of this leaks out, if we find out that you're publicizing this in any way, the terrorists said that there would be immediate execution. But it just helped to remind us that right in our own midst, we have friends and we have family who are going through this very situation. And it made me think of, not only do we, but also that every person who is involved in this has family and friends who are hurting along with them. And so the Apostle Paul called us to remember those who were in chains and those who were in persecution. I want to thank you that you regularly bring up the persecuted Christians in our worship time, in our prayer time on Sunday morning, our community prayer. Because in Cave Creek, where we live, it's very easy for us to forget the plight of those in other parts of the world. Now, most of us are not going to, thank God, experience anything like this. Our difficult times come more from medical issues, or they come from family issues, or they come from financial issues, or whatever they are. And like our friends, though, that are being persecuted, we would lump all these into a category that I would just call challenging times or difficult times in our lives. And I've spent lots of time with you, with lots of members from our congregation where you have been going through difficult times. And the truth is that as I watched and as I was able to be with you in this time and just watch what was going on, it was very obvious that the witness of Christ was coming through who you are, and that your light was shining brightly for Christ to the doctors and to the nurses and to the rest of the people that you were encountering. It especially reminded me this the week as I contacted a dear friend from Southern California. He was actually the pastor that brought me here to Arizona in the very first place when I was at All Saints Church in Phoenix. And he is now fighting. He's 65 years old, and he's fighting for his life. He's had cancer, and now the third recurrence of it. And I spoke with his wife this week. And while he was undergoing, even as we were speaking, very high extreme doses of chemotherapy and even a stem cell transplant. And in our conversations, though, as I talked to this his wife, it was amazing how her faith and how her trust in God were just like an absolute beacon of light to me on the telephone. And this is just one of the many times that God has used somebody going through a difficult time to encourage other people. I was recalling how powerfully God's witness shines through us in difficult times. A couple months ago, I was at a breakfast where a lady who had been living with a brain tumor for more than 20 years, a brain tumor that was inoperable, and she had used this as an opportunity to go around and speak to groups like us. She had become very sold out to Christ through this time, and she sort of gave us this slogan that she goes by, and she said, "This is the way I look at life." She says, "My test is my testimony. My mess is my message." He said, "My pain is my purpose now." What a great way to look at something that you're going through is that it's an opportunity for me to even take a test that I'm working through right now and allow it to be something where the light of Christ shines through me to other people. And that's why we need to especially pray for those people who are in persecution, our brothers and sisters in Iran, in Iraq, and other places like that, that they, even though they're in difficult situations, that God could use them to shine brightly, just as he did with the Apostle Paul while he was in prison. And that brings us to the second urge for us to remember, is to remember the irony of God's power. Remember the irony of God's power. The second part of this verse says, "And because of my imprisonment, most of the believers here have gained confidence and now boldly speak God's message without fear." Today, for most Christians in the world, most Christians celebrate what we call All Saints Sunday. November 1st is actually All Saints Day. And it goes back to early Christian history, about the second century, when November 1st was marked as All Saints Day. It was a day to remember Christians who had given their lives for the sake of sharing the gospel. And for some, it became a day to remember Christians who had been especially important in our lives to be bright lights to us in sharing the gospel. It's interesting, though, in the Old Testament and in the New Testament both, that word saint is used many times. In both of the original languages, in both Hebrew and Greek, the word for saint and the word for holy come from the same root word, which means set apart. It means set apart for a purpose, chosen by God for a purpose. And so, for some of the people, the designation of saint, though, has been reserved for superstars in their life, more or less superstars. In the biblical understanding, though, of saint, all followers of Jesus Christ are saints. The Apostle Paul began many of his letters, including this one to the Philippians, with words like this. He said, Philippians 1:1, he says, to the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi. And as we understand it, he wasn't just writing to the Billy Grahams and the Mother Teresas of that church. He was writing to every single Christian, every single one of the people who had followed Jesus. And later he reminds the people in Philippi, he said, you and I, because of the strength that God's given us, we can do anything that God wants us to do. And we know that familiar passage where he says, for I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. That friend of mine who is working through cancer right now is the one who gave me this acrostic several years ago that I think does a great job of describing what a saint is. He said, saints are sinners acknowledging, I need the Savior. Sinners acknowledging, I need the Savior. Who is a saint? Well, you and I are. If any one of us acknowledge that we are sinners in need of Jesus Christ as our Savior, then we are saints. As we go around the room today, I see St. Rita, and I see St. Tamara, and St. Sam, and St. Steve, and St. Travis, and all the rest. And the first service, we even had St. Nick that was here. And we have people from all different walks of life, all different ages, who have trusted their lives to Christ. And we are saints. We are saints, not because of what we've done, but because of what God has done for us. And we understand the irony of the gospel is that we can do all things, but what? Only through Christ who strengthens us. Only through Christ who strengthens us. All the power that we have comes through the admission of our need. The third remember this morning is that we need to remember the power of prayer. Now, as a congregation, I think we understand the power of prayer really well, but we can always do more prayer when it comes, because prayer is such an easy thing for us to do. Paul said, for I know that as you pray for me and the Spirit of Jesus Christ helps me, this will lead to my deliverance. Of all the people in the New Testament that we read about, the Apostle Paul was perhaps the most fervent of all those followers of Jesus, and even he knew that he could only do the things that he was doing through the power of Christ who gave him the strength. But he also knew that he needed prayer. And so he asked other churches and other Christians to join him in prayer and to pray for him. And Paul knows, because Paul knew the power of prayer very well. And as you noticed in that broadcast that we in the first part of the message here this morning, the one pastor said, I urge you, if you are in another church, another part of the world, please pray for us, because God works in the power in the prayers of his people. Sometimes we think of prayer as sort of a last resort thing for us to do, but of course, we know that prayer is much more than a last resort. It's not a last resort or a sign of hopelessness. And prayer is much more than just a sort of a preparation activity that gets us ready for the real thing. As I read the Bible, I understand that I see that prayer is actually the real battle. Prayer itself is the battle, and it's a powerful, powerful thing that we're involved in. And God works in the middle of these battles that we're going through every day. And so that's why this morning We've decided that as a part of our time of remembering the people who are in the persecuted churches in the world, is that we're going to take about three or four minutes or so this morning and go to battle on behalf of those who are in the world and being persecuted for their faith. In your bulletins this morning, you'll see an insert that looks like this. If you look at your neighbors, you probably don't have the same one because we have four different groupings. There's 16 people that we have obtained from Voice of the Martyrs this morning that are in imprisoned, in danger of dying. And I would love you to just take that insert out right now because we're going to look at that. And on the reverse side of that piece of paper, you also see a description of how you can join lots of people around the world in even writing a letter on behalf of these persecuted people. And it's a real simple process. You just go online, and I did one, and it just takes a few minutes. And next week, we're going to be hopefully bringing these back and presenting them so that they can be prayed for, and then we can send them that they would do a mighty work in helping to free these people. And I just want us now, though, to remember Jesus' powerful words about prayer when he said, "Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do." And after worship, you can even visit the table in the back, and there are write-ups on all of these particular people that give a lot more of their stories and what they're imprisoned for and how long they've been there and what their family situation looks like too. And so we would just invite you to take these with you, and wherever you put things that you pray for, on your refrigerator, in your Bible, wherever it is, just remember to pray for these people as well as the young person that I mentioned before who's a friend of the member of our congregation, that you would keep that person in mind too. So what I would like to do right now is just close in a prayer and then allow about 3 minutes or so for us to take this time in prayer. And I've given you some prayer suggestions on the screen this morning. These are actually requests that come from a group of persecuted Christians in Iraq who have listed, "This is what we would like you to pray for us." So join me in a prayer, and then we'll join together in prayer. God, thank you so much for hearing us. And we thank you that prayer is powerful. And God, we thank you for walking with us here in the United States. And God, we thank you that you are just as present in other parts of the world, especially where these brothers and sisters are going through such difficult times. And I pray that, God, you would help us to bring them to mind frequently so that we could pray for them and be united with them in a unified purpose. And God, I pray that even today that they could know the joy and the peace of the Lord that only comes from knowing you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.